open your Bibles to 1 John, would you please? John is an amazing writer. When you remember, he's in his 90s. He's walked with God. He has much to say and a valid, valuable lesson for us today in 2021. With everything going technologically, do you realize, folks, the local church is one of the few places people are going to actually have person-to-person contact? You call your company bank. Press 1 for English, 2 for Spanish. Everything is done technologically. It's less expensive for the company, but it cuts down on person-to-person contact. But in the local church, it's eyeball to eyeball, heart to heart, face to face, person to person. So the local church is one of the few places that you're going to have that personal contact and personal connection. And it's that connection that John emphasizes in his epistle. John has been called the Apostle of Love. Now, it amazes me. Here was a man that he and his brother were called Boanerges, the sons of thunder. Not exactly touchy-feely, okay? This is John, the son of thunder. As one boxer said, this is thunder, this is lightning. That's the sons of thunder. John is thunder, his brother is lightning. But God tempered him. God tempered him. I'm amazed as I read through 1 John, and every time I see that little phrase there, little children, this doesn't sound like the son of thunder to me. Little children, my little children, personal contact, personal connection. In 1 John 4, we talked about in verses 7 to 21 that it's the hallmark of Christian people. Chapter 4 concludes the section of the epistle of 1 John on fellowship with God, who is love. And we went through an overview of verses 7 to 21. I said, we can't move on. We got to go back through each individual section. And so we stopped at verse 10. Now we get to finish verses 11 to 21, the Lord willing, this morning. Dear ones, here's the heart of our fellowship. Here's the heart. Here's what makes it work. Here's what stimulates that contact and that connection. Love. Dear ones, it is never so easy to say love, and sometimes hard to do. I love that limerick, and I've said it numerous times. I'll say it more times until I see the Lord in glory. To live above with the saints we love, that will be glory. But to live below with the saints I know, that's another story. Yeah. But dear ones, what makes the fellowship work? What makes that connection work? Love. And John, in verses 11 through verse 21, it's the heart of our fellowship, if it's the hallmark of the Christian faith. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. Now notice with me in verses 11 through verse 16. Here we have a doctrinal aspect. The doctrinal aspect. John writes, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." John begins with a very basic statement. No one has seen God at any time. Absolutely true. God has said, remember when Moses said, show me your glory. And God said, you wouldn't be able to take that, so I'll show you the hinder parts of my glory. You'll see the reflection, but not the composition. Because no man can see God and live. No one has seen God at any time. But look at the next statement. Here's the basic proposition. God's invisible. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. D.L. Moody went to simply get his hair cut. This amazes me, folks. Moody walked into the barber just to get a haircut. And when he walked out, the barber said, "I feel like I've been in the presence of God." Now, folks, I don't think any barber I've ever gone to has ever said that upon my departure. I don't stay long, as you can tell. I think they should pay me to get my hair cut, but I have to pay them. But let me ask you a question. God is invisible. No one has seen God at any time. I want to suggest to you that John is saying, how do I demonstrate an invisible God? It's through me. It's through me. You and I, dear ones, as believers in Jesus Christ, as believers actively united Antioch, here at Antioch Reformed Baptist Church, we reflect God. We reveal God. Sidebar. Men, you and I, as husbands and dads in our home, we reflect Jesus Christ. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. Man, that's a pretty tall order. Do you want fries with that? Man, you and I are supposed to reflect Jesus Christ? Really? Yeah. And guess what? John is saying we get to reveal the unseen God. People are going to see that unseen God through us. I think it was in 2005 when that one big tsunami hit overseas and hundreds impacted, thousands died. And do you know that Muslim activists came through the communities and they warned the people, stay away from those Christians. Stay away from those Christians. And what did those Christians do? They came with food, clothing, blankets, and a heart for the people. Dear ones, you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, reveal and reflect an invisible God. How do people know what God's like? They see the way you and I treat them. This is hilarious. There was a group of Christians touring in Israel. And they saw this one man, and he was driving the sheep, and he was scolding the sheep, and he was berating the sheep. And the group were just so confused because they'd always heard that the shepherd was kind and loving and tender. So they went up to him and they said, sir, why are you treating the sheep like that? We'd always heard shepherds were nice guys, not bad guys. The man looked at him and said, I'm not a shepherd, I'm a butcher. Are we butchers? And I'm right there with you. Do people see the glory of God? Do people see and sense the love of God through me? Because as his child, John is writing, no man has seen God at any time, but the love of God is being perfected in us. And aren't you glad it's being perfected, is perfected in us? Aren't you glad God is patient? I can't wait for the rest of the day. These are three powerful passages we're going to look at. Here in 1 John 4, Lord willing, in the Sunday morning service in Psalm 15, and then in the after dinner fellowship devotional, Deuteronomy 7, as we look at our faithful God. I can't wait to see what I'm going to say. But dear ones, as we start the new year, let's make a commitment that as we touch one another, we're revealing the invisible God. We're reflecting the invisible God. Then we can change that limerick, by the way. To live above with the saints that we love, that will be glory. To live below with the saints I know is part of the same story. Love one another. Behold how they love one another. and it shows in the way that they care. Behold how they love one another, and it shows in the burdens they bear. Dear ones, I am glad that if there is a person in need here at our church, this group will pray. This group cares. This group will bear and share that burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's how John begins. No man has seen God at any time, but the love of God is being perfected in us, and we get to reveal and reflect that invisible God. He gets better. His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us. Dear ones, I want you to underscore that thought, because our fruit bearing for the Lord Jesus Christ isn't just because of our effort. It's because of Him in us. Keep your finger in 1 John 4. Join me in John 15. I love John 15. My message title for John 15. Some people don't even, they don't hear it. They think I've said grace or great. And it's not. My title for John 15, 1 through 8, is The Confessions of a Grape. It's The Confessions of a Grape. And it starts out in verse 1 of John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And here is what the grape says. I know whose I am. I know what I am. I know where I am. I know whose I am. I belong to the Father. My Father is the husbandman. He's the farmer. He's the vine keeper. He's the vine dresser. He's the owner. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away. And every branch in me that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do what, class? Nothing. Not one thing. But notice, there's that word again that John uses in 1 John 4. Abide. Abide in me. And then notice the next phrase in verse 5. And I in you. You see, dear ones, you and I are called Christians because we belong to Jesus Christ. He lives in us. He has taken up residence in us by His Spirit. If we are going to reflect the love of God, if we're going to reveal the love of God to those that we come in contact with and those that we connect with, it's not because of us. It's because of God's Spirit in us. Had a most unique question come. Came to our Canadian office, and they sent it on to me. This gentleman was grieved, and he said, how is it that Christians are following these conspiracy theories. And I'm a Christian. God indwells me and the Spirit indwells me, and I seek to order my life in God's Word, but I can't understand why these Christians are following after some of these conspiracy theories. And it's like, well, I can relate to that. I saw on YouTube preachers that God gave visions to, supposedly, about our coming or about our election. It's like, really? So I'm right there with you, buddy. We're all indwelt by the Spirit. How come they're doing this? I can't understand it. It confuses me. It bothers me. Can you help me? And so I wrote him back. And I said, please remember, my dear brother, that though we are all indwelt by God's Spirit, we're still human. And we have opinions. We have opinions. Some that are based on truth. Others that are not. If we follow that which is true, we're going to be fine. If we follow that which is false, we're going to be off in left field. And that's one of the reasons that Christians get involved in conspiracy theories, is because they've chosen the wrong source for their information. Dear ones, God's Spirit abides in us. Here's another factor. When you and I are indwelt by the Spirit, we're walking in relationship to the Spirit, there will be a connection between us. And that connection is God's Spirit. It's how we get to be together. There's that connection. There's that connection and that concern. It's God's Spirit drawing us together, binding us together. Abide in me, Jesus said. You know what that word abide means, dear ones? I love this word. Sorry. It simply means to sit down and be at home with. Let the Lord Jesus come into your heart, settle down, be at home in your heart. You got an easy chair for him? Let him put his feet up. That's the picture. Abide in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, neither can you unless you abide in me. And so there is the key. Abiding in Jesus Christ. John uses that same word, that same concept. Now move back to 1 John 4 with me, please. In verse 14, he continues. In verse 13, he says that God has given us His Spirit, and His Spirit abides in us. By the way, how long will the Spirit abide with us? How long will He be in us? Go ahead, Michelle. Forever. The Lord Jesus said He will be in us forever. He will never leave us or forsake us. Now, God's Spirit abides in us. We reflect and reveal the invisible God. And how we do that is by the power of God's Spirit in us. It's not us. They're seeing the living Christ, my dear friend. They're sensing the living Christ. Those I believe it was Indonesia, in that 2005 tsunami devastation. They knew those Christians were reaching out to them in love. There was contact. There was connection. And it was because of the love of Jesus Christ in them, reaching out and touching them. So, dear ones, as you're reaching out and you're touching people, it's not just you. It's God's Spirit in you, making that connection. Look at verse 14. Here is the restatement of the gospel. John tells us in 1 John 4, here is the heart of our fellowship, which is loving one another. The doctrinal aspect, we reflect and reveal the living God. We do that by the power of God's Spirit. Now John goes on and he says in verse 14 these glorious words, and we have seen and testify that the Father sent the Son as teacher of the world. Is that what the Word of God says? No. What does it say? As the what? Savior of the world. You will call His name Yeshua. You will call His name Jesus. For He will save His people from their sins. One of my favorite Christmas passages is Luke 2:11. And the angel said to them, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a philosopher who is Christ the Lord. No, not a teacher, not a philosopher. Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And in those three words, dear ones, we have the entire title of our Savior. Savior, Yeshua, Jesus, Christ, and Lord. He is Savior, He is Christ, He is Lord. Savior, Messiah, and God. That word, Lord, is the very same word, kurios, which is translated in the Old Testament like about 6,000 times, Jehovah. Or as some scholars say, Yahweh. It is that holy name that when Jewish people come up to that in the reading of the Word of God, they change it from Jehovah Yahweh to Hashem, the name, because it is too holy to pronounce. And dear ones, that is our Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I needed a Savior. So did you. He came to save. Move back to John 3 with me, would you please? It's probably one of the most popular passages. If anybody knows anything about the Bible, it's John 3. Do you realize, if you've watched sports, baseball, football, basketball, there's a guy, if you can imagine this, who he'll hold up scripture passages, doesn't even say anything from the passage, just the passage. John 3:3, John 3:16. And this guy is sitting there holding up his sign. Do you realize that that guy generates income from churches? They support him as a missionary for holding up a sign, John 3:16. And so if there's anything anybody knows about the Bible, if you've watched it, they'll know John 3, 6. I have no idea what it says. But it's John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. How did God reveal himself? Through his Son. The invisible God became visible. We had a man who used to be part of our prophecy conferences, Doug Bookman. He's a gifted teacher, and he did a series, and I love the title of his series, When God Wore Sandals. The invisible God revealed himself. And that is what you and I believe, folks, that Jesus revealed the living God. He is God among men. As that song says, Mary, did you know that when you kissed his face, you kissed the face of God? For God so loved the world. And we have seen and we testify that God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And he's still saving today, folks. In the midst of 2020 and pandemics and political upheaval, he's still saving people today. 2021 turned the calendar and he's still saving people today. The Father sent the Son. There is the restatement of the gospel in 1 John chapter 4. Sidebar, John had a passion for the lost. That Boanerges, that son of thunder, God turned that passion into a heart and zeal for connecting with people and sharing the good news of Jesus the Messiah. Sidebar, my dear friend, are you not glad you don't have to be like me? Can I remind you of something? God made you, you. And God wants to use the you he made, and you don't have to be like anybody else. Let me give you an example. Many churches have visitation night, and Thursday night, Tuesday night, whatever. And there are some people, man, I can't do that. I can't go knock on a door, cold turkey. It's okay. What can you do? You know what I like to do? I like to bake pies. I like to eat pies. Thank you very much. I love to bake. I love to cook. And I like to go help people who have a need. Could you do that? Oh, I would love to do that. Fantastic. Now you know how God can use you. I like to help people. I like to work on cars. I like to build houses. I love to repair houses. Do you realize, folks, that there are widows who need help? You can go help widows who need their car work done, who need house and home repairs done. I can tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ as I work on your car. I can tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ as I work on your home. We had a lady in our sub. She was a widow and probably upper 80s at that time, Mrs. R. was. And she had said, I can't keep up with my yard work like I used to. And so I had two little friends across the street who said, Tim, we love to do stuff with you. And I said, let's go help Mrs. R, and we'll go do some yard work for her. We'll clean out her shrubs, and we'll clean out her. We'll clean it up. She brought me into her house, Jewish lady. She said, why would you do that? Why would you do that? This is our because God loves you. And I wanted you to know that God loves you, Mrs. R. And I wanted you to know you can know him. So you see, folks, aren't you glad you don't have to be like somebody else? You don't have to do it like they do. By the way, there is a wonderful example of that in the life of David. I love this. Remember when he was going to go fight Goliath? And Saul said to him, you can't go face him with a slingshot. Look at him. You need to wear my armor. And I love what David said. Kind of oversized, you know? I love what he said. I can't use this. I haven't tested it. Give me my slingshot. That I know will work. My slingshot and my God will take him down. And he did. I don't have to be like Saul. You don't have to be like anybody. God wants to use you as the you he made. It's exactly what he wants. His spirit abides in us. God sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And in verses 15 and 16, he rounds out the doctrinal aspect with these words. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. Here it is again. He said this in verse 7. In fact, let me read that. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 16, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Sidebar. Dear ones, it is our responsibility as fellow believers here at Antioch to make sure that the love of God has free, unhindered access. So we maintain that love for one another. Guard it zealously. Guard it jealously. We have to guard it. Do you know why churches split? They split for the same reason marriages do. People stop loving. People stop connecting. People stop communicating. And walls get built up. It was a powerful, powerful account. There was a pastor who came to a church in a community. And right down the road was another church that had started from the church he's now pastoring. These two churches coexisted in the same community, and everybody in the community knew what happened. The church over here split, and the people left and came over and started their own church. And the church this new pastor in town was pastoring, I said this one, he was pastoring the one that split off of it. grieved his heart. And he said, what will it take for God to put these two bodies back together? One day his daughter was in town with her friends, and they had gone out for the day. They were having a good time. She came to a stop sign. Car didn't stop on the other direction and T-boned him. Hit her side and she was killed instantly. For her funeral, it was her death that God used to put two bodies back together. Did he plan that? No. My dear friend, there is a very powerful principle in Scripture that out of death comes life. Out of her death came life. Read those words again in verse 16 of 1 John 4. He who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Those two churches are now going to reflect the love of God again because they came back together after her funeral. Because out of death comes life. That's the doctrinal aspect. Looks like that's about my time. I have to do the practical, I expect, next time. But, oh, dear ones, I love the fact that John used to be the son of thunder. And God tempered him into a man with deep, deep passion for people. Connecting, caring. That's the heart of our fellowship. That's why we have Fellowship Sunday, by the way. Just so you know, we got to have a spiritual explanation for why we eat. It's not until we meet again, it's until we eat again. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. How do I know? Thank you for asking. This is all free. Remember the Lord Jesus in John 21? Peter said, I'm going fishing. And so he and his companions fished all night, and they caught nothing. And the Lord Jesus calls them children. Children, cast your net on the other side. And they took in a huge draught of fish. And the message came, it's the Lord. Peter made a beeline for the shore. And there on shore, the Lord Jesus had a fire going, and he had fish on the fire, and bread, children, come and dine. I love that. So how do I know it's okay to eat? The Lord Jesus did it after his resurrection on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. So if he did it, we get to do it. And there's something about eating that allows that love to be shared, isn't there? It's great to be part of the family of God.